The Champions League continues to throw up incredible stories, but few players have written as many as Manchester United's comeback king, Cristiano.
And this time they're not denied, and this time, guess who it is? Cristiano Ronaldo. The cross from the left-hand side. Cristiano Ronaldo, rising highest, directs the header into the bottom left-hand corner. Wouldn't you know it? Just when you need a winning goal, you can rely on Cristiano Ronaldo.
We'll discuss a late win for Juve. Both Bayern and Chelsea hit four goals. Barcelona, Salzburg and Villarreal get crucial wins too. So much to get stuck into on Match Day Live. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to be looking back on a brilliant second match night of action in this season's group stage, and we are at the midway point of it. Tonight I'm joined by commentator Jonathan Beck, who watched United's comeback win against Atalanta. It just had to be. It felt like it was going to happen, Jonathan, in that second half.
It did, yeah. They had the momentum, which they just didn't have in the first half. They had their chances, they had time on the ball, they had the territory and the field possession, but they just did not have that breakthrough. They moved the ball quicker after the break. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer deserves credit for changing things around when he needed to. The introduction of the likes of Pogba and Sancho and Cavani added urgency when they needed it. And they got the job done thanks to Cristiano Ronaldo, the evergreen number seven, who just keeps on delivering.
And Phil Bakker was watching Bayern's eventually, Phil, comprehensive win at Benfica.
Yeah, they were made to work for it. 70 minutes without the breakthrough goal. We'd have everything but the goal until Leroy Sané stepped up and scored a wonderful free kick. And then the floodgates opened, and 15 minutes later, it was 4-0. And Bayern really flexing their muscles at the top of the group. An outstanding performance late in the day, having provided the platform with some fine Manuel Neuer saves. Benfica wondering, I think, just how they have been beaten at home by the margin they were in the end.
And joining Phil, Jonathan, myself, Rob Daly, European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, hello.
Evening.
What an evening.
Yeah, I mean, we wondered after Tuesday's 35 goals what would happen, and for the first 45 minutes of the late matches you thought, well, it's not quite as entertaining or as thrilling, and then everything happened in the last 10-15 minutes. And Cristiano Ronaldo, you can debate his best position, who should play around him. What you cannot deny is he is a finisher, and he consistently comes up with the goods in this competition. Massive win for Manchester United.
OK, let's go through all of Match Day 3's results on the Wednesday. Group E, Benfica 0, Bayern 4, Barcelona 1, Dinamo Kiev 0. Group F, Manchester United 3, Atalanta 2, Young Boys 1, Villarreal 4. Group G, Salzburg 3, Wolfsburg 1, Lille Sevilla ended goalless. And in Group H, Chelsea 4, Malmö 0, Zenit 0, Juve 1. There's also a podcast, the previous edition of the show, to review Tuesday's drama as well. But let's start at Old Trafford, where Manchester United hosted Atalanta, looking to win back-to-back home games in the Champions League.
Atalanta taking a quick free kick. They've worked it nicely to Zappa Costa on the right-hand side, and it's stabbed in by Mario Pašalić. Atalanta have the lead, less than 15 minutes in. Atalanta corner, 28 minutes gone at Old Trafford. Left-footed in, swing, it's headed in! Mary Demiral has doubled the lead. A brilliant header. Atalanta have got themselves a second goal, and Manchester United have got themselves real work to do. Marcus Rashford has got one back. The through ball. Rashford cutting into the area. The right-footed shot across the goalkeeper and into the corner. It's the start to the second half they want it. United back in the game. Oh, it's got all the way through to Maguire. Manchester United have equalised. Harry Maguire fielding a long ball in from the right-hand side. Atalanta let it run across the area. Maguire was lurking at the far post. He fires it inside the post. And they have 15 minutes to find a winner. And this time they're not denied. And this time, guess who it is? Cristiano Ronaldo. The cross from the left-hand side. Cristiano Ronaldo, rising highest, directs the header into the bottom left-hand corner. Wouldn't you know it? Just when you need a winning goal, you can rely on Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, they did it. They actually did it. 2-0 down at halftime. United get the win with Chris and myself. Now Jonathan Beck was the commentator for that one. Jonathan, where do you want to start? Should we go through the first half initially? Because Atalanta had United in all kinds of bother.
They did, yeah. They got it spot on in terms of the way they approached the game. They didn't push out too much. They have the wing-back system with the back three. And they try to make breaks down the left and the right, and also with Luis Muriel's pace down the middle. But Manchester United were allowed to have more of the ball. They were allowed to run at them, but they just couldn't get that ball moving quick enough. The final ball wasn't good enough, really. And Atalanta always had time to get men back behind the ball to put those last-ditch tackles in. We saw Mehdi Demiral doing an excellent job denying Marcus Rashford when he was clean through. That was after he'd risen and scored a brilliant-headed goal from Tone Coatminer's corner to make it 2-0 just before the half hour. And they scored the first goal as well, an excellent move down the right-hand side. Harry Maguire was just talking, actually, about the fact they were really two bad goals to concede. One from a set piece, which they're usually much better at. The first one was from a quickly taken free kick where they'd gone to sleep a little bit. Luis Muriel and Jozef Ilicic combining to set up Zappa Costa, and he just rolled it across, really, for Pašalić to tap it in. So, yeah, at half-time, there was real work to do. And to be fair to the United fans who've had trouble recently with the football that Manchester United have been playing, they did clap them off at the break, so there was plenty of togetherness, Harry Maguire said, in the dressing room, and plenty of togetherness on show in that second half, wasn't there?
There was, and actually at full-time, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was serenaded by the new standing section at the Stretford End, which is the famous end Manchester United always want to attack in the second half, and most definitely the support for the coach, it's unequivocal at Old Trafford this evening, and you know, he made changes in the second period, brave changes, and to come back from 2-0 down, you sensed as soon as the first went in, Rob, that this was probably going to happen, but it's still, it's a very impressive
comeback.
Still
needs doing, doesn't it?
Still needs doing.
You feel like it's going
to happen. Absolutely, but someone has to put the ball in the back of the net, and fortunately for them, they have the greatest ever goal scorer in the Champions League to do so.
Is that Harry Maguire? No. Oh, Ronaldo.
No, it's Marcus Rashford.
But we can hear from Harry Maguire now, who says there was a big improvement into that second half.
The first half, we conceded two bad goals, two big moments in the game. Obviously, they played a quick free kick for the first quarters out, and then a set play, what we shouldn't be conceding. We actually created a lot of chances in the first half, so we knew coming in at half-time that the next goal would be crucial. We got the goal, what we needed, what we deserved, and I think in the end, we deserved the victory. We created a numerous amount of chances. Yes, we made it difficult, but it's a great victory in the end.
Harry Maguire there. Bruno Fernandes, by the way, the UEFA player of the match, two assists for him. His pass for Rashford was this ridiculous outside of the boot assist. It's an interesting thing there for Maguire, Jonathan, because he says we deserved the win. And actually, I'd be inclined to say he's right, really. They created lots of chances, didn't they, United?
Yeah, in the second half particularly, Scott McTominay hit the post, another cross from the right-hand side. We're just on the monitors here seeing replays of Cristiano Ronaldo's chance, another assist that would have been for Bruno Fernandes, who played him in. He was one-on-one, central in the area, just by the penalty spot. And unlike him, he hit the shot straight at the goalkeeper, who did do well, did stand up long and tall, and managed to make the save. But yeah, the chances in the second half were mostly going Manchester United's way. That's not to say Atalanta didn't have their moments, because Duvan Zapata, who came on, was lively. And Ruslan Malinovsky, who was a later substitute, they had a double chance, which produced a double save from David De Gea. But that apart, the Manchester United goalkeeper didn't have too much to do, you have to say. And once Marcus Rashford had guided the ball in, swept across the goalkeeper into the far corner in the 53rd minute, then, as you say, it felt like it was coming.
Demiral, by the way, what a first half he had, scoring and that slide tackle, as you mentioned, Jonathan, hobbling around, celebrated that slide tackle. I mean, that'll get lost now in the history books as one of the great slide tackles in Champions League history. But for Atalanta, Chris, a really tough one to take. With a win, they would have moved on to 7 points. They stay on four now. United jump ahead of them in Group F as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's set up in 2 weeks' time in Bergamo to be another absolute cracker, I think, because both teams, not just in the Champions League this season, are vulnerable defensively. They haven't quite got that sorted out, but they both have so much ammunition going forward, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's another, might not be 3-2, but it will be very entertaining, and from their position, they'll be really disappointed they couldn't at least get a point, because you know that swing come match day six, yeah, we might just look back on that comeback and think, for either Manchester United or Atalanta, it was absolutely pivotal in their chances of going through to the last 16.
So for the second match day in a row, Manchester United come from behind at home to win a game, and it sees them go top of Group F on 6 points. Villarreal on 4 points after their first win in the Champions League this season. Jeremy Pino and Gerard Moreno with the goals headers in the opening 16 minutes, putting them ahead. Ilya pulled one back with 13 minutes to play for Young Boys, who had been knocking on the door, creating loads of chances. But then Alberto Moreno smashed in a goal 2 minutes from the end, and then Chukwueze sealed it to get Villarreal the victory. So Young Boys, after beating Manchester United match day one,
this group,
are now bottom of the group. I mean, and, it, and what I like about this, Chris, I feel really like this season, the fact we've got these teams meeting again in a couple of weeks is so interesting now, because I'm sure, despite this, Atalanta will fancy their chances of beating United.
Yeah, they will.
And I think Young Boys will think they could get something away at Villarreal.
Well, I think when the draw's made and Atalanta and Young Boys are in the same section, they're so fearless. They just, they attack, basically. And that means that this group is always going to be very entertaining. Now, I think before a ball was kicked, probably just about Manchester United and Villarreal were my favourites to go through. But still, all four teams in contention at the midway point of the group. Can't ask for anything more than that.
OK, let's go to Group E then. Benfica coming up against Bayern. Two teams, of course, who've won this famous trophy. Phil Blacker, watch this one.
It's Sané's taken a couple of strides beyond it and now runs up and hits it left-footed and scored brilliantly. Wonderful free kick. It needed something special to separate these sides. And Leroy Sané has just provided it. And it goes in for the own goal. And it's 2-0 off Everton, who's only just on the pitch. And that will surely settle it as we head towards the last 10 minutes of the match. Made by Serge Gnabry, who got to the byline, cut the ball back, and that's all it required, really, for Bayern. Gnabry once more, Sané trying to flick it on. It comes back to him. Lewandowski will touch it in on the line. Bayern have three. Well, they were frustrated for long periods of the evening, but they're enjoying themselves in Lisbon now, and Lewandowski getting in on the act. Sané's in again. Sané scored again. A thumping first time left-footed finish. Crashed across the goalkeeper and in. And this remarkable Bayern side continue to write their own script. And improbably, it's Benfica 0, Bayern 4.
OK, let's go to Phil now. I don't think we heard it there, Phil. But Manuel Neuer was absolutely crucial in a 4-0 win.
He was, with two outstanding saves, one stunning stop in the first half, another almost as good in the second period as well, and played a key part in keeping the game at 0-0 in providing the platform for what followed after that Leroy Sané free kick, which belatedly started the scoring. I mean, it was incredible that it was still 0-0 at that stage of the game, given the number of chances and the quality of chances that both teams had created, and it was right in the balance. It was difficult to call going into the closing quarter of the game, and then Bayern do what they do. They always find a way, they always seem to score, and once they'd got one, they were in no mood to relent. The second settled it, really, I think, as an issue, and after that it was about how many more Bayern could come up with, because they were utterly ruthless in the end. Those four goals coming in the space of 15 minutes, three of them in 5 minutes, and there might have been more before the finish, but Benfica were relieved to hear that full-time whistle in a game that they played such a huge part in for so long.
They did, and of course, before the game, Julian Nagelsmann was ill. He stayed at the hotel. And I think we have to credit whoever made the decision. Dino Topmuller and Xavi Zembrot were on the bench, because at 0-0, he took off Benjamin Pavard and they brought on Serge Gnabry. And that's a pretty bold call, I think, when you're away from home playing against a team who performed brilliantly, Benfica. They were intense. They had great chances themselves. That was a really attacking call, and it absolutely paid off. And the extra pace of Gnabry, the extra attacker, enabled them to make the breakthrough. Yes, with Sané's amazing free kick, and then from then on with those additional attackers, then all of a sudden the game looked easy. But they could easily have made a more defensive change and thought, you know what, 7 points from three games would be a great start. Well, credit to the coaching staff at Bayern. 9 points from three matches they are almost into the first knockout round already.
It's funny, because that kind of attacking change was exactly what we've been talking about earlier in the show, wasn't it, Phil, about whether they'd settle for a point, because a point at Benfica wouldn't have been a bad result. But on Leroy Sané quickly, Phil, do you think we're seeing the best of him at Bayern since his move from Manchester City under Julian Nagelsmann?
I think we are. I think we're seeing much more from him than we did in his first season at the club last year under Hansi Flick. But I do think there is still more to come, which is a scary thought for everybody else, really, because I thought he was excellent. Even take away that the two goals that he scored, I thought in the first half at 0-0, he was the one prompting from midfield and the one finding the spaces, really looking maybe most likely to make something happen. And that the end product is there as well now with the two goals that he scored in this game. And there could have been more. And I think there will be more from Leroy Sané going forward under Nagelsmann. He seems to be embracing this role. There's so much competition for places, of course, but he does appear to be the go-to guy in that role. And understandably, in the form that he's showing, I think a number of individuals have benefited from Nagelsmann's arrival. I put Nicolas Sulla in that category as well, but certainly Leroy Sané is right up there.
Kingsley Coman outstanding on the night. He's actually been named the UEFA Player of the Match, and he has since said, since full time, I feel really good. I'm really happy to be playing after my heart problem that had obviously kept him out of the Bayern starting 11 since August of this year. Elsewhere in Group E, Barcelona faced Dinamo Kiev in an early kickoff. Again, Matchday Live brought you all the action described by former England defender Laura Bassett and commentator John Bradley.
Back towards Jordi Alba. Forward towards Piqué! There's the goal for Barcelona. It's Alba to Gerard Piqué, who on the volley from 5 metres out makes absolutely no mistake. And Barcelona's pressure has finally told. It's Barcelona 1, Dinamo Kiev 0.
I think some of the quality balls that Jordi Alba has been putting in since the start of the game, you know, has been asking for someone to attack it, and that's exactly what Piqué's done. He's unmarked for the good connection, doesn't take his eye off the ball, good finish.
It's taken until match day three for Barcelona to pick up their first points in this season's UEFA Champions League. But they do have a victory, they have 3 points, and they have breathed life into their UEFA Champions League season. It finishes at the Camp Nou, Barcelona 1, Dinamo Kiev 0.
Well, it wasn't necessarily pretty, but Barca get the job done. And Gerard Piqué, now the joint top-scoring defender in Champions League history, level with Roberto Carlos on 16. He's got more than Sergio Ramos. I was convinced. Yeah. I was convinced Ramos would have more. 15 for Sergio Ramos. A crucial win for Barcelona. It keeps their Champions League campaign alive, doesn't it, really, Chris?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, Ronald Koeman would have liked them to have swept aside Dinamo Kiev, I'm sure. But ultimately, I think it's about getting out of the group if they can. And because of what we heard happened in Lisbon, it's been a really good night for Barcelona. It could have gone the other way. Had they dropped points again and Benfica had have got something from their match with Bayern, you know, Barcelona would have been in big problems. So they're clearly a work in progress. But if they can be beating teams whilst they are doing that, then Ronald Koeman will be happy enough, I'm sure.
And well, he is getting players back to full fitness. We saw Felipe Coutinho come on crucially at halftime. Ansu Fati was introduced. Yeah. Seen him score and start games, you know, since his long-term injury anyway. And we saw Sergio Aguero as well. I mean, you look at the team sheet. Yes, it's not the Barcelona team of old, but there's still a lot of quality players in there and exciting young players. Koeman talking about Chris pre-match about the fact that they're sorting out Ansu Fati's contract, the 18-year-old's contract. For Dinamo Kiev, you know, a bit of a killer blow. They're sort of in trouble now in terms of any ambitions for the round of 16.
Yeah, Michail Lucescu happy enough with the defensive solidity, but he said afterwards, yeah, I wasn't satisfied with our attacking transitions and the control of the ball. And he knows now, I mean, to go through would be some task. And in this section, they're probably a little disappointed that Benfica are playing as well as they are, because I think even now to finish third will take some doing the way that the three teams they are up against. But they'll still believe, you know, they'll fancy the chances again of getting something in Kiev, I would think, in 2 weeks' time against Barcelona. That is going to be a big game. And if they can pick up a win on match day four, then all might not be lost.
Phil, how's the group looking then with these four teams?
Well, Bayern in complete command now. We talked about how a point would have been a useful result in Lisbon, but all three means that they are 5 points clear already at the halfway stage. Played 3-1-3, 12 goals scored, no goals conceded, and another win when they reconvene against Benfica in Munich in a couple of weeks' time. They will be through with two games to spare. So there's then a point between Benfica, still second on 4, Barcelona just a point behind them. And if Barca do beat Dynamo Kiev in the game that you were just referring to in a couple of weeks' time. And Benfica are beaten again by Bayern. Then that meeting on match day five at Camp Nou is looking massive. Tuesday, the 23rd of November, Barcelona at home to Benfica. That could be the one that decides who goes through with Bayern.
Hint, hint to the production team to make that the feature commentary. Okay, let's go to Group G then. Lille played out a 0-0 draw with Sevilla. Both teams now are still waiting for their first win of an incredibly tight group. Lille on 2 points, Sevilla on 3 points. Sevilla had some really good chances on the day. Rafa Mir coming close. Renato Sanchez was denied one-on-one by the goalkeeper, but there would be no breakthrough in France. The other game in that group, well, Salzburg are in a great position now in this group, Chris. 7 points after a 3-1 win over Wolfsburg.
I think one of the results of the night, for many reasons. Firstly, this is only Salzburg's third group stage campaign. Remember, their second one last season, they played in front of no fans, like so many. So they've been waiting for a sellout night for a long time in that part of the world. They got it. And to beat a German club, you think of the amount of talent, the history of those two nations, the rivalry, particularly from an Austrian perspective, the amount of players who leave the Austrian Bundesliga to go to the German Bundesliga for often bigger finances, better supported clubs. So for the Austrian champions to beat a German team, I think for the whole country will have gone down very, very well, even those who don't support Salzburg. And another goal for Karim Adeyemi, right? Doesn't matter who they lose, Patson Daka, Erling Haaland, there's another guy who comes off that conveyor belt, and he was excellent all evening long. Really good game this, but Salzburg are, as you mentioned, they're in a great position now to reach the last 16.
Adeyemi with the opener, the Germany international, now 19 years of age. No Weghorst for Wolfsburg. It was Lucas Metsu got the equaliser. But credit as well to 21-year-old Noah Okafor, who got the two goals in the second half, knocked down some corners that he volleyed in. He was the star of the match, the UEFA player of the match in Austria. Okay, Group H, plenty to get into here. Chelsea 4, Malmo 0. Let's start by getting the views of the Chelsea head coach Thomas Tuchel, who was very happy with his team's performance.
We played a huge intensity, we had a lot of ball wins. We demanded this from us, we demanded the 3 points from us, but we deserved them because we played an excellent game in until it was 4-0. It was well deserved 4-0, and so yeah, we are very happy. But in 3 days is the next match, and that's what we demand also from us, but it was a good game.
Yes, so Chelsea move on to 6 points, having lost to Juve on match day two. Andreas Christensen with a volley, his first ever goal for Chelsea in 137 appearances. It feels like he is a goal-scoring defender, but he's not. He just isn't. He does for Denmark, scored that belter at the Euros, didn't he? But not for Chelsea. Jorginho scored a penalty on 21 minutes. Havertz, after half-time, having come on for the injured Timo Werner, made it 3-0, and then Jorginho would score a second penalty after Rudiger was fouled. Not doing his little hop, skip and a jump.
No.
Just belting them
just
now.
Just thought, well, just blast it.
Yeah, I'll just blast it.
Maybe after the Euro final, he thought, I'm not going to do the hop, skip and a jump.
That's a very good point, actually, Chris. Okay, so on the, you know, Lukaku was injured in the build up for the first penalty, and it didn't look good. So do we have an update on that first?
Yeah, Thomas Tuchel said this: Lukaku, it's an ankle twist, and Werner is a muscle injury, his hamstrings apparently. Says there'll be some days out, I guess, and they're in action at the weekend in 3 days' time in the English Premier League against Norwich City. So I guess that's going to be a nervous wait for both those players. That is the great knot on the pitch. Those two being injured is clearly a blow for Chelsea, because the games, as we know, come thick and fast at this stage of the season.
Yeah, don't have many actual other strikers there, do they? I mean, Havertz there. Yeah, let Giroud and Abraham go in the summer. But a notable win for Chelsea. Let's hear from Mason Mount, who says they built on a strong start to get the victory.
The way we started and the first half performance to come in with 2-0 gives you confidence going into the second half, and we felt if we started quick, we was on the front foot and winning balls back high up the pitch, that we could score goals. We obviously got the pen from it, and obviously the two centre-backs linking up and getting the first one. So yeah, it was a strong start, and then it helped us going into the second half.
Mason Mount speaking there after Chelsea's 4-0 win over Malmo. They're top of the Premier League as well in England. Things going very well in his first full season in charge for Thomas Tuchel. The other game in the group, more late drama. We've seen plenty of it on match day three in the UEFA Champions League. Juve just getting the win against Zenit, Chris.
Yeah, and Sergei Semak before the game was asked about Juventus. Is this a vintage team? And he didn't really answer it, but what he said is they are a club built to win. I think it's exactly what he means, because his team played well. and then champion clubs just find a way, don't they? And Kulusevski pops up with the winner in the 86th minute, and you know, Juventus from their late night trip to St Petersburg come away with all 3 points and are in a wonderful position. I think it was important after beating the defending champions on match day two to back it up with an away win. It now means Zenit, I mean, they're another team who can qualify for the last 16, I think, on match day four in 2 weeks' time, and they host Zenit, and they'll be confident of doing that.
Juve top of the group then on maximum points, 9 points. Lovely goal this, by the way. Matias Desilio with a cross in from the left-hand side. Kulusevski off the bench just guided it in, flicked it in off the post to see off Zenit, who were going into that having beaten Malmö 4-0 on match day two. So Juve 9 points, Chelsea 6, Zenit 3, Malmö 0. And we all go again on match day four. And that brings us nicely to the idea that the Champions League's back in only 13 days' time. Plenty to look forward to. Daniel Mann has the details.
All of this week's fixtures are reversed in 2 weeks' time, with the action getting underway in Germany and Sweden. Wolfsburg hosts Salzburg, while Chelsea go to Malmö in the two early kickoffs on Tuesday, the 2nd of November. We'll have commentary of that match at the Malmö new stadium right here on the show.
Kovacic for Azpilicueta, in towards Lukaku. That's the mark of any successful side. That's why they signed Romelu Lukaku, and yet again he delivers.
The likes of Bayern, Manchester United and Juventus are in action again in 13 days' time as well. Meanwhile, three big hitters kick things off on Wednesday, the 3rd of November. Milan meet Porto in one of the early matches. They've won this competition 9 times between them. Real Madrid face Shakhtar, who shocked them in Spain a year ago.
Solomon for number three! What a goal! What a scoreline! Real Madrid 0, Shakhtar Donetsk 3!
The late games look great too. Leipzig host Paris, Dortmund meet Ajax, and Atletico travel to Liverpool. They enjoyed their last trip to Anfield.
And Morata is in behind, and he can finish it here!
Sheriff against Inter is another standout fixture 2 weeks tonight. We'll have the goals as they go in from all 16 games on match day four, so tune in as the group stage continues.
Daniel Mann there, so plenty to look forward to on match day four as these teams do it all over again against each other in the UEFA Champions League. Group stage, plenty more to come as we review the highlight moments of the night. But let's hear from Manchester United's manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
They are a big, big part of this club. You know, the singing section here today was that kept the players going, kept everyone going in the belief. Because that is what you do at Man United on a Champions League night. I thought we played well first half as well. You know, we just... Two chances, two goals. It has to stop if we are to survive past 50. You know, we've got a habit of doing this at this club. But as I said, I thought we played well. And then out of nothing, they scored the first goal. And then another set play, a goal. But they never kept believing. They never stopped believing. They kept on going. Made a few mistakes, yeah, but we kept going.
Chris is talking about Juve, but Manchester United definitely have that same still, don't they? That way of winning games. Okay, highlights of the night. I think we've got some easy ones here. Jonathan Beck, you can get us going.
Yeah, fairly simple for me. Cristiano Ronaldo's 137th goal, doing it again for United to give them all 3 points.
OK, Phil, what about from Benfica Bayern?
I think that it has to be the 15-minute flourish from Bayern, starting with that spectacular Sané free kick, but also everything that followed once the floodgates opened. It was spectacular in the end. They'd have to be patient, but ruthless from Bayern, and a real statement I think they've made.
And Chris, a final one from any of the other games.
Well, I was going to say Manuel Neuer's save, because it was unbelievable in the first half.
Another game.
I'm going to go for Salzburg's victory to potentially put them within touching distance of the first knockout round.
OK, a very good one. That's all we have time for tonight. And what a fantastic match day three it has been in the Champions League. Remember to join us from 6 p.m. CEST throughout the group stage for more live commentary, analysis and drama from this season's competition. We'll be back in just under a couple of weeks, Tuesday the 2nd of November, for match day four. And remember to download our podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider for a comprehensive review of the UEFA Champions League. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.